You try to hear for discussions of truth. Colorado Springs, second day of the reawakening tour with Clay Clark. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a very special guest with me. And Wade Balzer.
Yes.
Wade, would you please tell, you look like a doctor, so I think, would you please tell listeners who you are? What's your background?
Well, my name is Wade Balzer. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma, born and raised there. And I was raised Mennonite. If anyone has ever heard of, watched the movie God's Not Dead, there's an actor in there, David A.R. White. His dad used to pastor my church when we were kids growing up, so we used to crawl in the pews together. As I got older, I got married, and was married for 16 years, went through a horrible divorce, at least in my opinion it was. People probably thought differently. But in that time of my life, God began to reveal himself to me through his word. I had an encounter with God in 2006, in which I kept seeing numbers over and over again, and on that particular day, and I knew there were God encounters. And on that particular day, when he spoke to me, I thought something broke in my head. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was like it was an otherly voice speaking to me thoughts. And I thought either I was going crazy or it was the devil, and I was going to either cast it out or check myself into a mental hospital. That's where I was at. And as I began to try to figure out the identity of what the voice was speaking to me, if it was Satan, I was going to try and do my best to cast him out. And if I couldn't, I was going to check myself into the mental hospital. But I asked questions. And when I did, the voice spoke back to me with a book and a chapter and verse of the number that I kept seeing over and over again. It was a direct answer to my question. And I asked another question. And I heard another book with a same chapter and verse. And it was the next answer to my question. And I asked another question. And without changing the chapter and verse, just a different book, it was a direct answer to my question. And after that conversation, I knew I had just encountered the author of the book, the Bible. And I didn't know what to do with that. I mean, I knew I had the encounter with God. But then that became a journey for me as I began to, just as I began to seek in the scriptures and begin to find, this was happened in 2006, October 23rd, as I began to seek in the scriptures to see how that even conversation even took place, I began to discover this beautiful DNA in the scripture. Every living thing has a DNA written in biochemical language that reproduces everything after its kind. The Bible has a DNA of its own, but it's not, instead of it being a biochemical language, it's a mathematical language. And it has the capacity to reproduce after its own as well. Have you heard of the Strong's Concordance?
No.
Okay, so James Strong's in the 1800s, 1894, he published a Strong's Concordance of the Bible with every word you can find in the Bible. You would look up, say the word love, and he would list every verse in which the word love appears. He also put a Greek and Hebrew dictionary in the back, indexed alphabetically. And so, if, for example, if you wanted to look at God as love, it would have the Greek Strong's number 26, and you go to the Greek dictionary in the back, and you see it's the word agape, the God kind of love, the unselfish love of God. He does it for you, not for him. It's an unselfish love. Do you know you have 26 bones in your feet?
I did not know that.
Maybe, could it be, because we're supposed to walk in love. Also, God created man in his own image, and this happened in the 26th verse of the Bible. In the 26th verse of the New Testament, Jesus was born in the Bethlehem in the land of Judea. It overshadows this picture of love, that everything God does is out of love. And we are made in the image of God's love, if that makes sense. So what I just began to discover, and as I began to uncover the structure of the Bible, which I didn't know existed, everything that he spoke to me on that day, October 23rd, I found written in the scripture, but it was in the DNA of scripture.
October what now?
23rd, 2006.
Got it.
That's when the encounter happened. Well, the word spirit in the Greek dictionary, the Strong's dictionary, is Strong's number 4,151. If you count 4,151 verses from the end of the Bible backwards, you're going to land at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. This is the day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out. Very significant. Jesus, and keep going here, Jesus is found 975 times in 935 verses of the Greek text of the King James. And if you look at the number 935, this is Strong's number in the Greek for the word king. And 975 is the strongest number for the word book or scroll. I take that to mean that he's the king of the book.
You take that to mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe that's true because I know he is. And then, you know, they put on the cross, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. Well, the Hebrew strong's number for the word king is 4428. If you count 4,428 verses from the end of the Old Testament backwards, you're going to read that he was wounded for your transgressions and bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and by his stripes you are healed. It's incredible. And remember, I found this in 2018. Go to the 935th digit of pi. You know, 3.1415
sure.
to infinity. But the 935th digit of pi, which I just said was the word king, you'll see the digits 53787. Now you
5387.
No, 537.
537
87.
87. 537 87.
Do you know what that is?
I have no idea.
Okay. Take out the keypad of your phone.
Okay.
And you'll spell the name J-E-S-U-S using those numbers. Because he's also the king of mathematics. He's not limited by time.
Repeat that. Take out your phone.
Take out your phone.
Go to your keypad.
Use the keypad and spell the name Jesus. And it's the same number. 53787.
53787.
Yeah, using the keypad of your phone. In fact, spell the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, with your phone. It's 24253. In the second volume of Webster's 1828 dictionary, it aligns with the word universe. The universe, if you want to break it down, in the Latin is uni, meaning one, and verse. One verse. If you could summarize everything down to one verse, you might guess what it is, but let me tell you. I saw that and I go, huh. So I looked up the word verse in Webster's 1828 dictionary, second volume, in the index. The verse, the word number is 26137. 26,137. If you go to the 26,137th verse of the Bible, you're going to read that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That's just the DNA of a few things. I could go on for hours.
Around, keep going.
You know, around the time of the election.
What? Which one? The 2020 election?
2020 election.
Okay, so this is an election that is... Everybody's, well, the most disputed election... okay, right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I was just curious about the election.
Yeah.
In the...
Why were you curious?
Well, I mean, we're having an election. What's the Bible say? Is there anything aligned with the Bible?
Okay, so 2006, you're coming into a communication that you're having with God.
Right.
And you are now understanding the Bible as right. presented to you in ways that you had not understood it prior.
Correct.
Okay, so...
Let me back up just a little bit here, because I'm a programmer.
What kind of programmer?
Computer programmer. I do prep websites, you know, applications.
Software, hardware?
Software. Yeah. I did a hardware program once for a chicken coop, for a chicken grower, but...
I like chicken eggs.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Well, anyway...
Locally grown, hatched.
Right.
I prefer.
We love chicken. They're the church bird. The people eat chicken on Sundays. So the my website's newjerusalem.org. I've had it since the 1990s. You know, late 1990s.
Who's your host?
Actually, I host myself. I have my own servers. I just felt like it's gonna, my website would grow. I actually wrote my website for myself so I could study the Bible, because I didn't find any program out there. There was no one that could search the scripture like I wanted to search it. So I created the program myself, for myself. Anybody else can use it, newjerusalem.org. So I looked at the word election.
Why?
Well, we had an election happening. I just wanted to see. I was curious. And I saw that...
wanted to see what?
I wanted to see what the Bible had to say about the election. If there was anything. I didn't, you know, it's just a word. You know, why not? If there wasn't nothing there, I would still gain whatever the Bible might say about anything. It's all good food. You know, whether it's relative or not. But what I found in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, in the first volume, the election is word number 18,158. In the second volume, in the aligned, second volume, the word number 18,158 is the word stole. As in, if you pair them up, it's the election stole. But not only that, when I looked at the Strong's number for election, which is in the Greek, 1589, the Greek Strong's number 1589 is the word election. The Hebrew Strong's number 1589 is the word stolen. Again, pairing up the words election stolen. So on November 3rd, I was saying, this election is going to be stolen. And I had people rebuking me because they didn't believe that would be the case.
Why?
Well, I would say because everybody believed that Trump would win, and he did.
Everybody, what?
I mean, I'm around
7 billion people on the planet. What do you mean by everybody?
Well, I mean, all the people that are supporting Trump, very vocal.
And again, geographically for listeners,
I'm in Oklahoma. It's a red state, so I'm around a lot of Trump supporters. You know. Maybe different in California, and I wouldn't think any different. You know, California's always been blue that we know of. I mean, who would
not always? Reagan came out of California,
right? But when we begin to see that how things begin to progress, you begin to see that wait, this is actually what's happening. I was going by a hunch that this was what was going to happen, but when it unfolded that way, I'm like, okay, this is very significant. And over the course of the year, I began to see, in fact, it was July 30th, 2017.
Hey guys, if you're podcasting in this room, hi, I'm the tech manager for this facility.
Folks, are just going to let it roll.
Okay.
Got an announcement. Okay. Resuming.
Okay.
Wade, please continue.
Yeah, so I begin to see some interesting structures of the Bible. In July 30th, 2017, I was in church and I was reading about the burden of Damascus. But when I read it, the word Damascus popped out. With the word Damascus. And I'm like, it was very real that I was like seeing the word Damascus. And as I, and so I sent that to my pastor.
Repeat this for listeners. Just repeat this. And frankly, we're repeating for Pamela, but we're repeating for listeners.
So in July 30th, 2017, I'm sitting in church and I was just kind of reading about the burden of Damascus. And I was reading, and when I did, the word demask us popped out of the word Damascus. And as I was, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, I took it to mean, you know, like the mask of our hearts, because sometimes we're not true. Like we put on a mask in front of people, we don't want people to see us. So we put on the fake image of ourselves. So I took that, that's what it meant. And I believe it does mean that, for God's concern. So fast forward to December 2019. there's an HBO series called, came out that was called HBO Watchmen. It's, again, very secular series, HBO. You understand the content. It's going to be HBO-type content. But what was interesting is it's based in a fictitious timeline of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And as I begin to watch it, one of the first scenes is a cop pulls up to the person in the car. He's wearing a mask, and I freak out because I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the same word I saw. And here it's in Tulsa, you know, picture of Tulsa, got the mask on, and it just, everything played out. The writer is a Jewish writer, and he probably didn't even, you know, for whatever reason, he was, and there's a, I could go into details on that that would be mind-blowing. Because I believe God speaks to everybody through their dreams, through their creativity. But sometimes you're going to have a Daniel or Joseph to interpret that and show where God has been speaking. And I believe that was the case for HBO Watchmen, because it was incredibly prophetic. One of the main characters happens to be a guy named Wade, who is called the Looking Glass. And if you understand how that plays in the scripture, if you would spell my name numerically, it's 23145, go to where that's found in Pi, it's followed by the digits 9357. If you go 9,357 verses from the end of the Old Testament, you're going to land in the only verse of the Bible where it has the word looking glass. So they're seeing something.
Who's they?
The writers of in Hollywood. I mean, they're seeing something.
Who has written this looking glass?
Right. Again, who knows? You know, just, I believe all creativity comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Again, it's not about me. Just understand, it was just for me to see. Go into January 2020.
Going back to 2000.
Yeah, I'm going
2020. Okay, here we go.
I'm just kind of forwarding on from December to January 2020. Again, this word kept coming strong to me about Damascus. I happen to be a Doctor Who fan, and on this particular Sunday that there was another strong word about Damascus, I'm watching Doctor Who. New episode just came out. I'm watching it when I come home from church, and they go back to 1834. Well, 1834 is a Strong's number for Damascus. Again,
just messages are being messages being sent to you.
Yeah, like I'm telling. And then I'm watching another show.
There are no coincidences.
I'm just saying. God was speaking very loudly through multiple witnesses, you might say. I was watching another show, and they happened to be... Actually, there were two other shows. But the one, Messiah, came out on Netflix. I watched it. They started out in Damascus. And then I'm watching another show at the same time, and they go to a fictitious town of Damascus, Nebraska, where the show was about death masks. Yeah. So the picture was being painted in January 2020, and I'm like, I'm telling everybody about it. Again, I'm interpreting it as about the heart. God wants us to take this mask off our hearts so that we can get true to who we are, that we don't have to fake who we are around people, because he didn't make us to be fake. He wanted us to be real and genuine. Go forward. COVID's hitting. And I happened to notice an earthquake in Texas. That Texas doesn't usually get earthquakes, but I noticed one. And the heading from the earthquake to my house was 55.21 degrees. In the Webster's 1828 dictionary, that word is be masked. And the definition is to mask or to conceal. I put it on Facebook on April 6, 2020, with that understanding, before any mask mandates hit. And then all of a sudden the mask mandates were hitting. And now the word I had received before is now in our face, being very obvious what God is trying to say. And you can see this play out through the scripture. In fact, where the Bible says, when the disciples asked Jesus, what shall be the sign of thy coming? If you go deep dive into this word sign, it's the word, it's the 55th occurrence of the word sign, 21st occurrence from the end. Again, pointing back to the same 55:21 to mask or to mask or to conceal.
Let me insert something here, Wade, and I want to get your opinion on this. You've got a concept that's practiced in some circles. The term is known as gematria. Are you familiar with that term?
Yes.
And as a mathematician, you are understanding biblical verses and your communication with your creator through math and mathematics. That aligns to some degree, whether it's what you're doing or not, with this practice of gematria. So this is what I'm going to insert now. We have, in our day and age, an integration of advancements in technology through mathematics and the existence which you're saying as being real. Okay, you are real, you're a human being, you are a creation of your creator. Some people mesh that through a term called transhumanism. I'm going to throw something at you. I want to get your comment. And I don't know if you have looked into what's happening in Switzerland at CERN at all, but if you haven't, do so. You're a religious man, and I'm just going to insert this as a religious angle. Could it be, Wade, could it possibly be that the adversary, which is attempting to mask and silence, and well, is masking and is silencing and is censoring. Could it be that that existence, whatever it is a non-human entity that could possibly be identified through a human understanding and acknowledge? Could that be a machine?
It's an interesting concept. I do believe that the Bible is real. I believe that there are spiritual forces at work.
And DNA.
DNA. Everyone has a DNA that's an incredible, beautiful program. You are who you are because of your DNA. And DNA is replicated after its kind. It's like you can't, put two different kinds of DNA together and cause it to replicate. It just won't work. Your human DNA can combine with any other human DNA, female, male, female, and create life. Because that's the way it's been designed. And you'll see this exist in plants and animals. I mean, the flowers, there's a male component and a female component, and the bees happen to cause the germination of even the flowers to bloom.
A yin and a yang, a negative, a positive.
Right.
A male, a female.
Right. So your question to say, is it a machine or a non-human entity of some sort?
Or non-natural in the formulation of what you know is, or what we experience as being a human being.
Okay, so let me give you an understanding that I have come to. I may have to look up the number for just a second while I'm doing this, but in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, it talks about the river of life. And I'm going to show you a word pair that connects with it. Okay. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. It's, if you're counting verses, it's verse number 31,082. The Webster's 31,082 is the word knowing, to know. Scripture says, if you know the truth will make you free. If you understand that, if you can be manipulated, if you're lied to, if you believe a lie, But if you know the truth makes you free. And here he talks about in heaven, something that's clear as crystal, we think of water. But if you also think about what you know, being as clear as crystal, is about knowing truth. What's interesting is if you kind of understand that and you take it the same idea for the word ignorance, which is 27202 in the Webster's 1828 dictionary. The word ignorance, right here. If you go to book, the 27th book of the New Testament, chapter 20, verse 2, you'll read in Revelation 20, verse 2, and he laid hold that on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Pairing with the word ignorance. Would you believe that there is a entity out there that does not want you to know the truth?
I would believe that.
Yeah. That's your adversary. And whatever form it exists, it's an adversary. For you to know the truth is for you to be in liberty.
Well said. Wait, well said.
In fact, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. That's 22,043 verses from the end of the Bible. That is the Strong's number for Elijah. So think about this. Where you see the spirit of liberty in this nation is the same as the spirit of Elijah coming upon this nation. I mean, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And some of us haven't come to a full understanding of who he is, but he's got our numbers. He knows who you are. He knows who I am. He's got our names written in his book. It is so beautifully woven. I could show you that it is absolutely true. He talks about our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but did you even know that that's the same as our Bible? We just didn't know because we haven't seen the DNA of our Bible, but I could show you that this is absolutely true. Just absolutely true. In fact, I can show you my last name. B-A-L-D-E-R. Spell it numerically. Translate the B to a 2, A to 1, and so forth. You're going to find that that number, if you're looking to pi, this is going to be different for everybody that might look, but for me, I found that number in the 1,164,945,958th digit of pi. You don't need to write it down. I don't remember it either, but if you're counting words of the King James, it's going to loop through the Bible 1,472 times. It's going to land on the 783,846th word of the Bible, which is in Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. It's the word seven in this verse. So when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard the voice in heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. It's just a verse. People don't know exactly what that meant. But if you go to this book, chapter, and verse, this is the 66th book of the Bible, chapter 10, verse 4. Retranslate that to Hebrew letters. It's a Vav, Vav, Yod, and a Dalet. And that is how you'd spell my name in Hebrew. Wade. Wade Balzer.
So, Wade, in your opinion, what's happening in America today?
It's a wake-up call to the church. Church has been sleeping. Church has been complacent. Church has been in her own little world, in her own little communities, having her own little fellowships and potlucks. Okay? Seasons have changed. And when now we have understood that we have an enemy that is coming in like a flood. But the Bible says that the God will raise up a standard against him. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against them. Now the church is waking up. And I promise you this, President Trump won the election, but had he got in office as we would have hoped him to, the church would have gone right back to sleep, went back to her own, and we would deal with the next election as if we do every 4 years. You know, we lost this one, we won this one, but no, this was so important to us because we saw the corruption. We saw the mass amount, and then all the cancel culture and everything hitting us, silence in our voices. It's become bigger than just what we've ever seen before. So now we have people that are standing up, uniting. And I tell you this, I'm watching things unfold, and I said this to some friends. I said, they have targeted the wrong person. They think Trump is the problem. They don't know who they're dealing with. The problem is the pebble that gets stuck in their shoe, and it's going to bother them until they take their shoes off and have an encounter with God. See, the pebble is the little person, the person who becomes a thousand. Those thousand becomes a strong nation. There's a United States of America that is coming, that is actually a real United States of America. You understand that? We've lived in a place called the United States, but we've not had a United States of America. We live in a place called it. But do you see a spirit of people uniting together as one? Yeah. We're rising up as a people to take the power where God has placed it on the people. We the people of the United States of America. Yeah.
Wade, you've done some incredible enlightenment here. You've received some wonderful direction. You have you've helped bring light into people's hearts, and your message echoes certainly with my time with you. NewJerusalem.org.
Yes.
And what are some final comments? You've sent a very strong message here in the past 180 seconds or so. And frankly, Wade, I'm going to tell you this. I've not heard anyone put that the way you have just put it in regards to a unification currently happening. What are some final words? What do you exhort listeners upon listeners?
There is a God in heaven who loves you. He loves. I know that He loves me. He sought me out when I was not, when I didn't believe in myself. And He's transformed me by just understanding His word. But here's the thing. It comes back to knowing the truth. And the truth will make you free. If you know who you are, if you knew how God loves you, how God wants to be with you. In fact, look at Moses. He asked God this question, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh? God's answer to him is actually surprising, because God's answer does not sound like He answered the question. Because God answered him these words, certainly I am with you. Here's the thing. God never leaves us or forsakes us. Our identity is not just me alone. It's not just you alone. In fact, God sees me as, I'm not just Wade. I'm God with Wade, because He never leaves me. My identity is not found in just myself. From the creation of the world, when He created man in His own image, it was intended to be God with man. God with you. And if you understand that you are not just you alone, that He is with you, now you are a nation changer. You can change your government. I had a beautiful picture earlier when I was just standing over here, just as we're talking and praying. And the word was, the government shall be upon His shoulders. And I saw this picture of a father putting his child upon his shoulders and carrying him. Think about that picture. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And he's just, and you have the picture of the child sitting on the father's shoulders. That was touching me as I was seeing that earlier. You're awesome. you're awesome. And
you're awesome.
It's an honor to meet you. And to just share what God has put in my life and uncovered.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wade Balzer, NewJerusalem.org. Thank you, Wade.